The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
As we gather tonight, millions of Americans are realizing that Joe Biden and the radical left have brought our nation to the brink of ruin. There's never been anything like what has happened. After just 9 months under Biden, violent criminals and bloodthirsty gangs are taking over our streets. Illegal aliens and deadly drug cartels are taking over our borders. Inflation is taking over our economy. China's taking over our jobs. The Taliban has taken over Afghanistan. Lunatic leftists are taking over our schools, and radical socialists are taking over our country. And we're not going to let that happen. We're not going to let that happen.
Well, there he is. He won't go away. And that's, of course, what enrages the radical left. Some stories I'll get to in a moment from CNN and other places about how that this might be one of the scariest rallies yet for Donald Trump because, the governor was there, Senator Grassley. It was in Iowa on Saturday night. But they just can't understand why. I mean, you spoke out against what happened on January the 6th, and you should just leave him alone. He doesn't have any credibility. Okay, so he gets the crazies showing up in full force, 20,000 of them. But now here come the prominent politicians as they're returning back to these rallies because they know just how popular this man is all across the United States of America. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Indigenous Peoples Day? Happy Indigenous Peoples Day. So there you go. A day to celebrate. Whatever that means. It's not Columbus Day. We've got to move away from that. Those statues came down, remember? Tear down those statues. We've moved on. We've awakened. We've revised our history. This is what we're now teaching in school. And if you, as a mother of children in school, if you protest this, I mean, if you get up and even denounce it in a school board meeting, you're a domestic terrorist. America's under attack. That's what Donald Trump was saying in that clip we just played for you. We're coming under attack from every direction. Look at these radicals that have taken over. Communist infiltration. He was right. There's a whole chapter in here. There's a whole chapter in here on Herbert Armstrong talking about the communist infiltration of our nations. And he was writing about it back in the 1950s and 60s. How about that? And now you see one article after another about this radical leftist takeover, this communist takeover, this communist infiltration. And you're even hearing more and more commentators talking about civil war or secession, those kinds of subjects. We'll get to that and plenty more. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We're thankful for our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, that takes this program, audio only, but it takes it into 11 million homes around the United States. To get to the video version, though, of this program, you have to go to our website. YouTube won't play it. They can't. It's too dangerous. You have to go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and then you can go /live, get right to the live stream page and all of the podcasts that we post after the fact so that you can listen to it on demand whenever you like. So this rally, 20,000 people or so, and Governor Kim Reynolds was there, Chuck Grassley, as I said. And this is what's really disturbing to the communist left. This is from Gateway Pundit. It says, CNN ran a story titled, "The Most Alarming Trump Rally Yet." It's the most alarming. Why? Why? In some ways, it's no different than so many of the others. 20 and 30,000 people, that's no problem for Donald Trump. He can pull those kinds of numbers really anywhere that he lands in the United States. But CNN is disturbed. It says in that CNN piece, this one was attended by longtime Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, Iowa Reps Marianna Miller, Meeks, and Ashley Hinson, Marionette Miller Meeks, I guess, and other mainstream Republican officials. Some of these very same people who just 9 months ago were slamming Trump for his role in the Capitol riots were now only too happy to be seen supporting him. This is politics at its worst and at its most dangerous for our democracy. That's quoting some, I guess, Democrat operative. It's dangerous, you see, for any of these politicians to show any kind of support for Donald Trump. If you're a mother at a board meeting and you show support for any of his policies, you're dangerous. This is the way these people think. They really and truly have revealed their true colors. They're not hiding anything about their agenda to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Listen to this montage. Actually, we can play one more clip before we get to the montage. This is Donald Trump from Saturday night, clip four.
Do you think that General George Patton would have left early out of Afghanistan? Do you think he would have left dead soldiers for no reason whatsoever? And do you think he would have left $85 billion worth of the best equipment anywhere in the world? And you know, Russia and China, they already have samples of our great helicopters. We have the Apache helicopter. We have the best stuff in the world. And they are now re-engineering the equipment. They're de-engineering. They're taking it apart. They're figuring it out. And very soon they'll be building the best stuff for less money. It's a disgrace. What's happened is a disgrace. Think of it. 600,000 of the best machine guns, rifles, and guns made anywhere in the world. And I read the other day, there's tremendous numbers of our equipment right now being sold on the black market. Isn't that nice?
That's right. China, Russia, they're just helping themselves to this arsenal that we left behind in Afghanistan. We left all the equipment behind. We left American citizens behind. Some have died. Some have been tortured. And yet the major media, the communist media, the propagandists in the media, they don't report on it. They've just moved on. But you look at the radical left. You look at what they're doing to the United States. And as I say, I mean, they've fully revealed their true colors. This is from Jeff Lewis at American Thinker. It says here, they intend to destroy America. Perhaps the best thing about Barack Obama being elected president and serving two terms, along with Democrats' deranged reaction to Donald Trump's election, is the radicals are no longer in hiding. This is a new and different and far more dangerous Democrat Party. That's what he's saying. They're now saying out loud, in public and in broad daylight, things that nobody in Bill Clinton's administration would ever have said or admitted. Now we can clearly identify the enemy in plain sight, who is not just inside the gate, but entrenched throughout our vital national institutions. We can identify the enemy. We know they want to destroy America. They want to fundamentally transform the United States. Obama said it in 2008. And here we are into the third and fourth even, the fourth term of Barack Obama. He was operating or running the deep state all through the Trump years. Still does. These radicals are not slowing down. They are pedal to the metal and accelerating. Time, it says, is critical. We must resist them at every opportunity, locally and nationally, and let them know we will not shirk our duty to stand for freedom. And you have some of these supporters at that rally in Iowa. I mean, they're preaching. They're preaching. They're saying God's got to turn this around. God's got to save the nation. If not, I fear there's going to be a civil war, said one of them. But as for this radical leftist Marxist movement, they're not hiding in the closet anymore. They're saying things that Bill Clinton supporters never would have said. They've fully revealed themselves. listen to this Grabian montage. This was, I think, sent out on Friday, but some of these individual clips you'll remember from this program before, but you put it all together, and it's frightening, really, to just get some insights into the way these people think, these Marxist radicals, the way they think. This is clip one.
No one likes to mandate people to do things that they may not want to do, but sometimes for the greater good of society, you have to do that.
You got to start telling people, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business.
We really need to make it clear that there are privileges associated with being an American, that if you wish to have these privileges, you need to get vaccinated. Travel and having the right to travel interstate, it's not a constitutional right as far as I know.
Getting vaccinated is not a personal choice. It's not. It's something that we do for the community.
I think that he should approach this with an iron fist.
If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come to work.
People aren't then going to threaten to go to another workplace. If every workplace has that same requirement, that's a good thing. So I don't think it's overreach. I think this is what's needed in the middle of a pandemic. And in fact, I think the Biden administration, if anything, could have gone even further.
And those governors that stand in the way, I think it was very clear from the president's tone today, that he will run over them.
If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this gym.
Screw your freedom, because with freedom comes obligations and responsibilities.
Your personal choice ends where my right not to get killed by an infectious disease begins. So we have these collective actions for the good of the community, not the individual.
We don't live in a bubble. We live in a community. And that is why there have been a number of instances throughout history where we have made a decision as a society to abide by common rules that protect the common good.
We really have to think in terms of what is best for society at this point.
If you don't get vaccinated, you can't get onto this airplane.
You can stay unvaccinated if you want, but you're not going to be able to travel to see your family.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
As Tom Elliott said on that montage, he's the one that produced it. This is starting to feel like communism, I think. Yeah, I think so. Communist infiltration. More and more commentators are noting that. Mark Levin had an entire book on it, America and Marxism. And who was talking about it back in the 1950s even? That would be Herbert W. Armstrong. That's why you need. He was right. All these mandates now. You heard the one woman there who caught herself. That's not the way I see it. And I don't think I read the Constitution that way. I mean, she tries to hold up the Constitution. She catches herself. They want to destroy the Constitution. They want to fundamentally transform America. They said it in 2008. And here we see it happening in 2021 from Fox News New York. It says, already facing a staffing crisis, the Seattle Police Department is bracing for the possibility that hundreds of officers will fail to meet an October 18th vaccination deadline. We're coming right up to these deadlines, mid-October, late October, early November. And some, like the police chief out in Los Angeles, he's already saying, I'm not going to require it. Otherwise, I'll lose a third of my force. And we're already short-staffed. We already don't have enough of cops on the street because of defund the police and other movements like that. And you lose another 100 or 200 because of this crazy vaccine mandate? Well, we're talking about anarchy in Southern California. Anarchy in Los Angeles. Is that what people want? Evidently so. It says here, as of October 6, 292 sworn personnel had yet to provide proof of vaccination. The number is down from 354, so a lot of them are coming under pressure to get it, and they're getting it. But the ones holding out, 292 in Seattle, these are policemen and women. It says here, to add another layer of concern, Seattle PD spokesperson Randy Husarek confirmed to Fox 13 News that there is an additional 111 officers awaiting results of exemption requests. Says those 111 are not counted in the 292, meaning If their accommodations are denied, the actual number of unvaccinated officers could be as high as 403. Seattle's bad enough as it is. What happens if you lose 400 more officers? The deadline's October 18th. This is the Jobama economy. Fire anyone that's not vaccinated, and the economy is going to be as good as it's ever been. Better than ever. That's what he said last week. We played those clips Friday. They're killing the economy. They're destroying it. And it's all going according to plan. Just ruin the livelihoods of hundreds, thousands of unvaccinated. And then send Jen Psaki out to the press conference and say, hey, the U.S. economy, it's better than it's ever been. It's just better than ever before. Bill Maher on his program, this was from Friday night. Listen to him. He's basically making a common sense point. How do you have a good economy if you don't have workers and if you don't have supplies? We've got all these shipyards that are just backed up, one ship after another, because there's not enough workers to process everything. This is Bill Maher from Friday, clip 7.
Well, it's interesting because I keep reading about the Build Back Better bill. We don't have enough workers, even if we passed it tomorrow. And because of all these supply chain problems, we don't have building supplies. So how are we going to build back better if we have no workers and no supplies?
How do we make it better with no workers or supplies? This supply chain shortage and then workers being laid off by the thousands because they're not injecting themselves with this poison. Build back worse. That's what's happening. Destroy. Southwest Airlines over the weekend. You saw the story, the headlines. All these flights that were canceled down in Florida. Hundreds of them. Something like 25 to 30% of the flights for Southwest canceled. Because the flight attendants, the flight crews, the pilots, they're staging a silent protest. They're calling in sick. They're doing it together to make a statement. We're not going to stand for this. We're not going to go along. And then Southwest, their first announcement on Saturday or Sunday, I think it was that, well, the weather was bad. We had to cancel a lot of flights. They just lied about it. And they've since admitted that, okay, yeah, we did have some people that didn't show up. But how come it's just so common, even for top-tier officials, CEOs, representatives of national companies that everyone recognizes, and they get some bad press, and they sure don't want to look like they're caving in to Big Pharma, or rather resisting against Big Pharma, I should say, because that's the operation for all of these major companies. Just go ahead and go along with the vaccine. And lie if you have to. Everybody's got to get vaccinated. Everybody's got to get the jab. There was the story Friday. I forget who reported it. I saw it at Conservative Treehouse. But it was something like 100 congresspeople and their staff, 100 to 200, that had gotten the COVID. They got treated with ivermectin, you know, all the things that you're not supposed to plug, you're not supposed to endorse, you know, the horse medicine and whatever else. It's just all vaccine. The solution is the vaccine. So if you're working in Congress, I mean, if you're one of the elites and you get sick and you get treated with hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, don't tell anybody. I mean, think of it. These people they're at Congress. They're at the Capitol representing the United States of America, and yet they're getting treatment that they won't even tell you about or that they don't even want you to get. It's an upside-down world. This is what it says here. 100 to 200 congressional reps and or staff and families who contracted COVID were treated with the frontline ivermectin protocol. This successful treatment is they all recovered, by the way. It says, this successful treatment is happening at the same time many congressional representatives are playing politics in favor of the vaccine, downplaying the effective antiviral treatment and therapeutic approach with ivermectin, and taking action to block regular American citizens from seeking similar treatment with ivermectin. They're going into hospitals and they can't even get this treatment, because everybody just has to go along. We'll worship. If the elites say it, if the communists say it, then we just go along. Conservative Treehouse says, Congress can seek treatment with the medication they simultaneously deny to others. This is well beyond a scandal and needs to be investigated quickly. It's well beyond a scandal. This needs to be looked into. But Biden, you see, the puppet, he's out front spewing all these lies. It's not even a law, by the way, these vaccine mandates. It's basically a press release. And yet there's Joe Biden. Basically, he's decreed. The vaccine is mandated in these government agencies. Maybe we'll leave aside the U.S. Postal Service. But aside from that, we got to get everybody. And then some of these bigger companies are following suit. These medical institutions, these airlines. And as I say, it's not even a law. But they're just coming under the pressure. We'll worship. Straight out of Colossians 2. Listen to Joe Biden. This was from one of his press conferences. If you can call it a press conference. It was more of a statement that he made last week. Clip 9.
We're making sure healthcare workers are vaccinated, because if you seek care at a healthcare facility, you should have the certainty that the people providing that care are protected from COVID and cannot spread it to you.
He didn't say anything like that last year, did he? When there were no vaccines. He was like everybody else, praising those healthcare workers that were in there risking their lives. Now they're the grave danger. Now they're the one, we need to get rid of them. And we're in a pandemic, and people working in the healthcare industry are being fired. Talk about a narrative that's been exposed as a fraud through and through. This was from last week as well. We didn't have time to play this on Friday's program, but we've played clips before of Peter McCullough, and he's commenting here. He's very much against not vaccines in general, but just this one, and mandates. And that sort of thing, where you see freedoms and liberties just eroding away in our nations. And he comments here in particular about the madness in Australia. Here's Dr. McCullough, I should say, not to be confused with Dr. Mercola. That's another doctor. But Peter McCullough, clip 10.
If we don't act now, what people say is we are going to be like Australia. Australia has very little COVID. On most days, they have more COVID, they have more vaccine deaths than COVID deaths. There's something wrong going on in Australia big time. And South Africa is next in line. Europe is next in line. It's a very disturbing place right now. We get these distress calls. Probably half my emails from Australia. I've been there a bunch of times. It's a wonderful place. Melbourne's like San Diego. Have absolutely no problems with it. It's very American-like. But something is going on in Australia, and they're at the point where they are at a breaking point. They have restricted their freedoms. It can't be about COVID at this stage. What's going on about in Australia is not about COVID. It's about some type of mental contagion. It's about some type of psychosis, some type of neurosis, some type of totalitarian takeover that's occurred all over the world.
It's not about COVID, as he says there. On any given day now, you've got more people dying from the vaccine than you have dying from COVID. Or, as we've played clips before, you have these health officials in Australia admitting that some of the ones dying of COVID have been double vaxxed. They've gotten both jabs, and they're still dying. As I said last week, it's the vaccine that's making this even worse. Even worse! And yet the media, these fascists in the media, they're out there just hurling. I mean, Brian Stelter every Sunday, the whole, it's like a review of media coverage from the previous week. And he just can't get Fox News out of his brain, the poor man. They've got a permanent place of residence inside that man's head. Everything's about Fox News. They want no dissent. They want no differing opinion. They want it blotted out. And the devil's behind it. I was talking just in the doctrines class this morning. We know, many of you know, what happened to the Worldwide Church of God following Herbert Armstrong's death in 1986. All the doctrinal changes. And the prophet, in particular, as I stressed this morning, the prophecies that he himself fulfilled, Herbert Armstrong, coming in the spirit and the power of Elijah to prepare the way for the return of Jesus Christ. This is Malachi 3, verses 1 through 5. It's Malachi 4, verses 4 through 6. It's Matthew 17, 9 through 11, 12, and 13. Matthew 24, 14 is another prophecy that factors in. And Mr. Armstrong, he's writing there at the end of chapter 6 in Mystery of the Ages, this wonderful book here, requested from one of our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Get your free copy today and study. Study Mystery of the Ages along with God's Word. And understand your world. God put the Bible together so that we could have a how-to manual, so that we could have a third of it being prophecy. We could have a viewing into the future, so that we could have vision. People of vision, as the proverb says. So that we can see what God sees. In any event, when the Worldwide Church of God, the Takaches and all of these corrupt actors after Mr. Armstrong died, when they started changing these prophecies about the end time Elijah, they just basically scrubbed Mr. Armstrong right out of the prophecy. They just erased him. They blotted him out. That's the way Satan works. Hey, end time Elijah, and he, singular, would come and restore all things. Well, let's just erase him out of that. And then they said, no, it's kind of the whole church fulfills that prophecy. And then soon after that, well, that was fulfilled in the first century with John the Baptist. There's not really a duality to it. So just forget about it. You see how Satan operates? Erase Mr. Armstrong, make it more general, water it down, and then eventually just do away with it altogether. And so that's what we see happening in our nations now. Like that commentator at American Thinker said, I mean, they're not hiding out in the closet anymore. They're out in the open. They're telling you. Obama told us in 2008, and yet the propagandists in the media, they didn't want to vet him. They didn't want to look into his background. There's only a few people like Sean Hannity did, but he was an exception. Most of them just covered it up. Jeremiah Wright, all of these disturbing connections he had to Bill Ayers and these terrorists, basically, these domestic terrorists, real terrorists. And now these communists, they want to say that mom is a domestic terrorist because she happens to agree with Donald Trump on a few things. They have control of the levers of power in this country right now. And that's why we see the stranglehold that they have on academia, on popular culture, on the economy, on government, on the deep state, on the DOJ, the FBI, even down to the local school boards. Listen to this one from CNN. This was a commentator, I think, just yesterday, clip two.
But I don't know how people in right-wing media, with the science that we have out there, and with all the videos and all the personal tragedies we've witnessed of people dying, you can go and do anti-vax stuff on television. It's not a game. You walk out of the street, you're part of the community. You're part of this country. You're part of the global community. And you're contributing to killing people. That's unconscionable. There is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness for these people.
These people being Fox News and the like. You're killing people, and you're... There is no forgiveness. You're guilty, says CNN, the Communist News Network. Here, and they go after Tucker. Tucker's the most popular cable news station or cable program on TV. And then they see the 20,000 showing up in a rally for Donald Trump. They can continue to deny the reality of the fact that his poll numbers, Joe Biden's that is, they are plummeting. It's Donald Trump who's the most popular politician in the United States right now. And God says he's coming back, as we've said. So we said it the day after the media anointed him, November 7th. And then we came out with a trumpet brief on November 9th saying it's going to happen. And, you know, just like with the court case over Mystery of the Ages, it didn't look like it was going to happen anytime soon. But God says that it will. And so we want to put our hope and our faith in the sure word of Bible prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show with any and all feedback, you can email us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
One thing we were really emphasizing last week when going through our study on the Great White Throne Judgment and all that is to happen beyond the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, the thousand-year millennium, the Great White Throne Judgment at the end of that, is that God really wants for us to be eternity-oriented. And that's difficult to do, but as we've heard even here recently on campus, the higher we can get, the more we can get to an elevated plane, the farther reaching we can see off into the distance, the wider our perspective. And that's what God wants for us to have spiritually. As we read last week, with God, a thousand years is as one day. And so God wants us to be thinking in terms of eternity. And he's got this magnificent master plan as it's unfolding. And as 2 Peter 3 says, he's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want one person to fail in his plan, in his purpose. Now, some will because they just stubbornly refuse to submit to God's family government. But most will make it in the end because of this plan, this fantastic plan that God has worked out or is working out here below. Verse 10 of 2 Peter 3 says that Christ is coming as a thief in the night. Talks about the surface of the earth melting from heat, this fiery baptism of the earth's surface that happens right there at the end of the Great White Throne Judgment period. Finally, everyone who's ever lived will have had an opportunity to participate in God's family plan. They will have their minds open to the truth. God's Spirit will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Verse 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, Well, knowing this, having this eternity-oriented perspective, this mindset, what manner of persons ought we to be? How should this motivate us to change and to repent and to overcome? Verse 12 talks about hastening along the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, doing what we can to change our lives for the better, to wholeheartedly support God's work, so that we can actually even hasten along these prophetic events and get to the return of Christ sooner rather than later. So many of these events that we talk about on this program, they really do revolve around what's happening first and foremost in God's church, because it's the work of the church. That's what's uppermost in God's mind. Christ's return, that's not going to be upon us until this church finishes its work, finishes its commission, fulfills all of God's will. Verse 13, it says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness." See, we look for it. We anticipate it. We have an eternity-oriented mindset. In the old correspondence course produced by Herbert Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God, it says, "With this final baptism of the earth in a lake of fire, the earth befouled by man's scratchings and scrapings upon its surface will be purged of all defilement." A purging. I mean, this is what, in some ways, our physical baptism typifies. We're purged when we come to the watery baptism, we individually. As we bury that old man, and what comes up is a new life in Christ. The earth is going to be baptized as well. It says, with the immersion of the earth in this cleansing lake of fire as a type of baptism, the cycle of creation is complete. Rising from the lake of fire, a spiritual new heavens and new earth will appear. This is the site of God's new project. Keep in mind, 1,000 years with God is just like a day. I mean, 7,000 years of human civilization, that's nothing. 6,000, of course, under the direction and the sway and the influence of the devil, the god of this world, this present evil world. And then the 1,000-year millennial rest, when God's government will be ruling this earth, a 1,000-year utopia. And then all who've ever lived, brought up in the second resurrection there at the end of the millennium, the great white throne judgment period, the books of the Bible are open to their understanding. That's Revelation 20, I should say. And then their period of judgment, God judging them according to the ways of the Bible, the laws of God. And then the fiery purge, 7,000 years, really just 7 days complete. And then, the site of God's new project, New Jerusalem, descending upon this earth from heaven above, that magnificent spiritual city, and God himself coming to this earth, God the Father. Verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." In other words, again, going back to what it says there in verse 11, knowing this, I mean, what manner of persons ought we to be? How should we behave? Peter says, "Be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace." Be diligent. You can note Zechariah 6 and verse 15. Another verse that speaks of diligence, it says, "And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Eternal, your God." All of this, you see, God's going to protect his people in a place of protection during the Great Tribulation. And then the establishment of God's kingdom there at the outset of the millennium. All these things will be right there with Jesus Christ, assisting him, complementing his ministry, supporting him as the bride. All of this will come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of God. See, we've got our part in this plan and purpose. The bride will be ready, Revelation 19:7, Will you be a part of it? Will you be among the bride or on the bride level in this awesome purpose and plan being worked out here below? Well, if you set your affection on this, if your mind is eternity oriented, if you know that because all of this is going to happen, you purify yourself, as 1 John 3 and verse 3 says. If you purify yourself and overcome, conquer your adversary, the devil, with God's help and power. This is from an article my father wrote over the summer. Set your affection where the Father and the Son are set. He's commenting on Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It says, Christ is risen and seated at the Father's right hand. And they both tell us, this is where we want you to set your affection, your mind. This is where your real passion needs to be. See, the Church of God really is going to marry Jesus Christ. It's described right there in Revelation 19. For those of you that have never heard of this concept, that God is a family, that Christ marries the church, and that union, that marriage, will then welcome in billions and billions of children. If you want to study Mystery of the Ages, if you're not familiar with these doctrines, these teachings of the Bible, Mystery of the Ages is a great place to start. Verse 15, it says, and account that the long-suffering of our eternal is salvation. See, back in verse 9, it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God's not delaying his plan and purpose. God hasn't been caught off guard by the devil and all of his nefarious behavior and activities. He's not caught off guard, not one bit. He's moving along. It's all going right according to his plan and purpose. This is from the Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges, a commentary. It says here, men were impatient and counted the long-suffering of God as tardiness in the fulfillment of his promises. The true way of looking at it was to see in it the working out of his plan of salvation for all who should be willing to receive it. See, don't look at these prophecies as they unfold and think, well, God's not fulfilling his promise. As I was telling the students this morning, if a 1,000 years is like one day, well, I mean, what's 30 or 35 years since Mr. Armstrong's death? What's that like? That's just a snap of the finger. It's nothing. God's carrying out his plan, his purpose. It's all going according to God's will. And God is patiently working all of this out because, as 2 Peter 3 says, he's not willing that any should perish. So he's put in place the perfect plan. Verse 17, it says, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. See, be diligent. Diligently obey and beware. Beware that you don't become lukewarm, that you don't fall from your own steadfastness, that you're not led away into error, the errors of the wicked. Stay strong. Keep the faith. Keep the focus. And then that leads into the memory verse. Verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, we have to keep growing. We have to keep learning. We don't want to fall from our own steadfastness. Look at the Laodiceans. Look at those many people that just went along. You know what's especially satanic about their efforts to blot out the Laodicean ministers, their efforts to blot out Herbert Armstrong from so many of those earth-shaking prophecies, is they blotted him out, they erased it, from the church teachings, and then they came out and told the church members, hey, this is what we've always taught. This is what we've always believed. So they blot him out, and then they go and say, we haven't changed anything. They just lied. They just lie. Here you see all of these corrupt Marxists, and they're just blotting out American institutions, foundations, and saying, essentially, everything's just the same as it's always been. Nothing to worry about here. Nothing to see, even. Well, it's an audacious attack. Coming just head on. Like I say, it's not even in the closet. None of it. They're out in the open. They've got control. And they're blotting out dissent. Don't you dare talk about, you know, the mask mandates if you're at a board meeting. Don't you bring up November 3rd. Don't you bring up the fact that the election was stolen. Don't you dare talk about the pandemic as the hoax that it is. How that it's been completely and thoroughly politicized. Don't bring that up. Don't you dare talk bad about the vaccine. You just go along. Grow in grace, God says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to keep growing. We have to keep learning, or else we will fall from our own steadfastness. God is pleading with his people. Look, dig in. Dig deep. Make sure you really get this. In Mystery of the Ages, it says, Remember, God's purpose in creating man on the earth is, number one, to restore the government of God on earth. See, this is what Lucifer took away by his rebellion. God's purpose is to restore the government of God on earth, and by regulating human life through that government, A, complete the physical creation of earth, where angels turned it to ruin, and B, in the process, complete the creation of man by developing righteous spiritual character. And then number two, to establish the kingdom of God and eventually the incredible human potential of finishing the creation of the vast universe. See, we've got to step back, or we've got to get up to a higher elevation and look at this view in all of its magnificence. This is God's purpose and plan. We've got to remember this awesome plan. We've got to remember this divine purpose. We've got to set our affection on this God family plan and on beautifying and maintaining the earth and all the universe as well. God's about to give us jurisdiction over it all. Read Hebrews 2 if you don't believe me. Read it. Read the last chapter of Mystery of the Ages. It's a wonderful book. And it really gives you a magnificent summary of God's purpose and plan. A few emails that have come in that I just haven't gotten to in weeks, it seems like. So sorry about that. This is one that says, thank you for another week of programming and for reminding us about the priorities. And thank you for welcoming and inviting emails, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't know if we get too many ugly emails. Sometimes we'll get a little criticism, but for the most part, people have been pretty nice about things. It says here, another one, thank you for sharing the email from the woman from the traditional Christian church. Perhaps God is showing us some of the fruits of allowing all this insanity going on around the world. I know that we're praying for God to wake up the decent, deceived people. I pray more and more, wake up. Once again, a job well done by all of you. Another one here said, one of our ministers wrote in and said he got an email from someone in Georgia. Just wanted to let you know, this is from the email, just wanted to let you know that my brother-in-law, who took care of my mother while we were away at the feast, died yesterday from the COVID vaccine. He got the vaccination a week ago and died of massive blood clotting. I know he wasn't in the church, but I thought I would just relay this to you. Have a great day. And then our minister commented, then I heard the Trumpet Daily today and thought, wow, it seems everybody must know someone who has died from the vaccine by now. Why are there not more voices speaking out and standing up for the truth, I wonder? And we know the answer, but it's still not easy to stomach the lies. See, why so many lies, and why aren't there more speaking up for the truth? It says here, this one's from North Carolina, I'm loving all the coverage of the truth about the COVID vaccine amongst all the other topics you cover. I'm a nurse who got COVID last year, had a positive COVID test and subsequent antibody test, and recently had another antibody test that confirms I still have the antibodies. to the virus. I'm so tired of these authoritarian hypocrites telling everybody that they have to get the jab to gain protection from the disease. They don't even talk about the antibodies. They just say, get the jab, get the jab. Get the jab and you'll stay out of the hospital, as Joe Biden has said. It's a lie. It's a total lie. It says, since the vaccine is supposed to expose us to the spike protein of the coronavirus and therefore produce the antibodies against it, we should be focusing on whether someone has the antibodies that will better protect them in the event of another exposure. Instead, whether one has received the vaccine is the area of interest among the ruling class and what is driving these maniacal policies. It's just all driven by, have you gotten the vaccine? If you haven't gotten the vaccine, then you need to be fired. If you haven't gotten the vaccine, then you need to stay home. You really shouldn't be able to see your family. You're too dangerous. It's really the ones who are vaccinated that are more dangerous, as I said last week. This one here from New Jersey, it says, thank you for the spot-on commentary on world events and how they relate and synchronize with Bible prophecy. I think the president is just starting, the fake president, he means, after the mandate for federal workers to be fully vaccinated by November 22nd or lose their jobs. I think that what will follow next is a mandate for retirees to get vaccinated or lose their pensions. I mean, it really is. It's not a good time to be dependent on the government. And that's why they're trying to go after the liberties and the freedoms that so many Americans enjoy. Because they want control. They want to control everybody. Another one here says, it's been a while since I've told you how much I appreciate and depend on the plain truth that is dispensed through you and all the presenters on your or in your absence. Thank you all. My prayers continue to be with you. Another one writes, I admire your work as it has become so hard to find truth in today's world. I'm currently striving to understand more and reject the way of the world. You guys and Mr. Armstrong are a beacon of light. I probably would be lost in the dark without you. There's someone who's, again, giving a plug for Herbert Armstrong. He really was. His ministry was a shining light in this dark world. And of course, the Philadelphia Church of God, my father has continued right in those steps. Another one here says, praying that Richard Palmer didn't have the COVID vaccine to visit Canada. Praying for the church, love all the truth. He did not get the COVID vaccine to get into Canada. He did, however, get the COVID and was delayed in getting back to the UK. But we found out just yesterday that he got a positive test back. So he's fully recovered and he's ready to get back to the UK, but he's been working from Canada to gather news for us and for the programs and such. Barely missing a beat, but he's in good health and anxious to get back to his office in the UK at beautiful Edstone. This one here says, just writing to express my appreciation for the tremendous Bible study section on the TD program of October 6th. And the follow-up the next day, the message that there is hope for everyone shows how much God loves all of us and wants us all to know him and to be saved. That might be a part from the one I read at the start of the show or the start of the Bible study segment on Friday. In any event, one last one here from Massachusetts. It says, it was great meeting you and Sam Livingston and many other familiar names at the Feast of Tabernacles in Poconos. My first feast was an amazing experience and just the impetus I needed to refocus my life. Also, while I was away, I received the baptism package, so I have much to read, study, and pray about. I've been watching the TD mostly live for almost 2 years now, and I'm so grateful for the sound, rational analysis of current events and where we are in Bible prophecy that you and your staff provide. Without this knowledge, I'm sure I would be far more anxious about the insanity in this country and the chaos in the world around us. So there's a new prospective member listening to the program for 2 years. Some great feedback. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.